there is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cause.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. This teaching is very important. Can you bend your head and say, Lord, open my eyes? Please pray this prayer. Open my eyes, Spirit Divine. There is a meekness. One of the things that praying before we approach the word does is that it imparts to our heart a meekness that is required for us to access spiritual truth. The scripture has a life and an authority of its own, and he refuses to open to any man that doesn't come with the right heart posture. That's why you need to pray, Lord, let your truth come. Let it be living as it is coming. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a popular part of the scripture, but I'm trusting God that he will open it up in a new light. The intention of teaching is to do two things primarily to you. According to the book of Luke chapter 23, Jesus was on the way to Emmaus and he met two disciples there. These guys are disciples, and the scripture made us to understand that they were discussing, and the subject of their discussion was Jesus that just joined them. And when they were discussing, they said, Jesus asked them, what's the matter with you guys? What's so disturbing that you guys are discussing on it on your journey? And he said, it's about a man, his name is Jesus, that we supposed that he would have been the one that would save Israel. Unfortunately, the same Jesus is now dead, and it looks as if all hope is lost. And the Bible says, oh, Jesus, he felt disappointed. He said, oh, you dull of understanding. And the Bible said he began from the laws and the prophets to teach them things concerning who? Himself. So the first thing that Jesus did there is that he revealed himself to them in the scriptures. And the Bible made us to understand, are you with me? The Bible made us understand that Jesus continued that journey of exposition, kept exposing the scriptures about himself, or rather exposing himself in the scriptures, until they got to the point where Jesus would take his own path and depart, and they will go to where they are going. And because of what they have seen so far from Jesus's teachings, the Bible made us to understand that they compelled Jesus to stay with them. And that made all the difference. Because when they compelled him, he kept speaking to them. And the Bible said, at the breaking of the bread, what happened? Their eyes opened. Now they made a statement after that time. They said that, did our heart not burn when he what? Spake to us. So it means that an accurate ministry of the word should comfort having two major potencies. One is that it has the ability to bring the light of understanding, light of understanding, so that in places that we have not been seen, we will see. Number two is that it has the capacity to make our heart burn. The burnings and the burdens gives us the momentum, the drive. You can know a lot of things from the scripture and not act on many. The ones that get to work for us are the ones that we acted upon. That burning, that hunger, that push to get to see what you have learned of the scripture come to pass in your life or through your life is that thing that Jesus called the burning heart. I normally call it the fellowship of the burning heart. But there is a second part, and that part is light. The scripture said that at the breaking of the bread, their eyes were open. These two facilities, these two ministrations from the word of God has the ability to place you on the stead benefiting from what the scripture captures. If your heart burns, you will most likely go out to act on what the Bible said. Am I correct? If your understanding is lightened, you most likely be equipped to properly apply the scriptures. So you are now fully in possession of the materials you need to move forward. Many times we have one of these, but I pray that today we will have both of them in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's read 16 and 17. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after what? The flesh. The scripture is very rich. It is suggestive of the fact from this first statement that there is a possibility of knowing men after what? Follow me. After what? So the scripture said, wherefore, from now onwards. When is this now? If we have time, we will drive into it. But the Bible said, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. So this man is trying to say that there are people that knew Jesus physically in the flesh. Somebody like John the Beloved, you remember? They labeled him the disciple that Jesus loved, that lays his head on his shoulders. But aside the fact that after Jesus died, they had a revelation of whom he is, something again happened in a literal sense in the book of Revelation to reconfirm to John that the person that he met physically is, in a sense, a caricature of the real person. There are a few instances where Jesus tried to show them, give them an insight into it. But in those instances, especially before he died and resurrected, he will most likely tell them not to tell anyone. Like when he took them to the Mount of Transfiguration. Can you remember? He revealed himself to them and instructed them that they tell no one. You remember? In fact, as you know, the Gospel of John is the latest of the books in the Bible. Do you know? Like the Gospel of John is written before Revelation. Or after Revelation. Now, that shows you something. That the man that wrote the book of John wrote a few things in hindsight or on hindsight. What does he mean? He already has a manifestation of a few things that is there. So you will notice that the book of John is beyond just an attempt to keep a record. Unlike the book of Luke. Luke specifically told us, are you sure that sister on black? Are you with me? Luke told us specifically in the book of Luke chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3 that he noticed that there are several people that is trying to keep record of the life and the acts of Jesus. But him, being that he is with them that are eyewitnesses and knowing perfectly the things that we are most commonly believed amongst the brethren, he has to take it upon themselves to set things in order. Are you getting the point? So Luke and the others are more interested in giving an account. But John is not too interested in telling all the stories. In fact, to buttress this point, he re-emphasized it. Are you with me? He said in the book of John chapter 21, am I correct? He said, if we should write all the things that Jesus did, that there is no book that can what? Contain it. He said, now, these are written that you might what? Believe. And in believing that you might what? Have life. So, John is trying to reveal Jesus in such a way that it can compel everybody to believe. Not just in him, but in what he came to offer. He came to give us life, offer us life. Many times when you read the book of John, you will keep hearing the word life, light, love. Am I correct? Yes, sir. There is no man that understood that in all the apostles like John. He understood exactly what Jesus came to offer. And he summarized all his message in all his books to capture this. So it's either John is speaking about life or he's speaking about light, or he's speaking about love, in any place that you find him. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Very good. So because John wrote in hindsight, he was able to speak a few things as somebody that have seen this happen. Like the book of John chapter 7. The Bible said that John was speaking, on that last day, the great day of the feast, that Jesus raised a strong cry and said, "Whosoever thirst, let him come and drink. So that out of his belly will what? What? Rivers of living water." He ran a commentary there. That commentary is only possible because he's already speaking now from inside. He said, this he speak, speaking about the Holy Ghost that shall be given. For him to be able to say this like this, it means that at the point of penning down this record, the Holy Ghost must have what? Come. And they must have understood everything properly. The Holy Ghost that shall be given to them that have believed. And he added another thing. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. Amen. Meanwhile, with all this knowledge that this man had of Jesus in the natural, John saw Jesus at the Isle of Patmos. The Bible made us to understand that he fell like a dead man. The same Jesus you are laying your shoulder on. I've seen it happen to one or two of my brothers who will be gisting in my house. Gisting in my house. Will now be preparing. Will now go for ministration. Just in a moment. The person that is gisting with you will suddenly, you can't even come close to him. What is happening? The real man is now being revealed. So Paul is trying to tell us in that book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16. He said, though we knew Jesus and even you in the flesh, that henceforth know we no man after what? The flesh. He said, even though I know you in the flesh. As I told you people, one day I was going to my house many years ago and somebody called me, Chiodu! This man know me where? You are correct. And many of my people that are from this town, they want to crisscross knowledge. For you to know in the flesh and you desire to know in the spirit, you must abandon what you know in the flesh. Let's assume you are a man of God and God is using you well. If your family will benefit from you, they will have to abandon what they know. Your family. Do you know that a man and a woman will be living and the man or the woman is very anointed and the partner will never benefit from what that man carries as long as he keeps seeing him where? In the flesh. You have to be able to. So that was what the scripture is trying to paint here. Though we have people that knew Jesus in the flesh, he said, henceforth, know we no man. For you to understand how serious this know we no man is, he said, even Jesus. Yet henceforth know we him no more. Next verse. It's after me, therefore. The reason why I read verse 16 is so that you will understand therefore. Therefore is a conjunction. Am I correct? It is an attempt for the writer to link up the two verses. Being that these two verses are not just verses, they are two strains of thought. So we need to connect the two of them together. You cannot, if you notice Paul's teaching pattern, hello, you would have heard me make this emphasis a few times. If you notice Paul's teaching pattern, one of the things you will notice is that Paul speaks like a lawyer. And if you are a lawyer, you cannot make claims without premise. How many of you study philosophy in GSP, in the university? That's what we call philosophy and logic. 100 level. Am I correct? The strength of a logic is based on the strength of the premises. Am I correct? So if your premise is weak, then your logic is weak. So somebody like Paul always makes sure that his logic is airtight. And because of that, he will want to lead you on a few premises that will make him to make a statement. For him to say, therefore, he's about to make a statement. So he's therefore has to hang on a strong premise. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure you are with me?
Yes, sir.
So that is how we got to the point where we saw that therefore. So give me my scripture, please. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. Hey. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it again.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
If you check this scripture, I will just mention a few things, then I will do something quickly. If you check this scripture, it said, therefore, if, say after me, if. If any man be in Christ, this is the standard statement. That if you can ever find a man in Christ, just know that there is a kind of person that that man has become. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not. Some of you are not getting me. I can feel it. Let me say it again. If any man be where? If any man be where?
Hey.
He is a new creature. Some translations we call it new creation. Still the same. In a sense, I would prefer creation. Because in the broadest sense of our teaching, according to English language, creation captures better of our emphasis than creature. But they are good. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
if you hear the word creation, you will know that an act took place. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
an act took place. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, go and check what it is. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? If I ask you now, what is the most important word in this scripture? In this verse. What will you say, Kweku? Just one word. Huh? Who knows? Raise your hand. You said what? Actually, the most important word is new. Say after me, new. In redemptive context, there are two major words in Greek that captures the word new. As you know, that English language, in relation with some of these older languages, is a little bit weak. Even though English language, in relation to some of our language, can be stronger. But English language, in relation to Latin, can be weak. In relation to Greek, will be weak. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because these languages are older, and because of it, they have several expressions for many things. So English language, not knowing how to do it, we grab like four things and call them new. Now, they are new, but all of them are not new. We can try it in Igbo language. There are some things that I will say now, if I tell you to say it in Igbo language, it is not exactly that. Am I correct? And it's the same in all languages. Hello, if you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So there are two words. I will just mention them and then I will advance in my teaching. Number one is the word kainos. Kainos. So new, kainos. Now these two, remember I said in redemptive context. I think there is one or two more words that is related to new. But in redemptive context, kainos and neonesteros. 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 Just it's not a big thing to do. Let me explain what it means and then we'll move forward. Kainos is like a renewal. It is not necessarily a bringing in of something that has not been there before. Now, I need you to know that God's hand coming on something makes that thing new again. Not necessarily because we brought another thing, but because God re-emphasized on it by an activity of his spirit. That is what is called what? Kainos. So, it's like somebody that is teaching something, or maybe somebody that is a minister, and suddenly the breath of God came upon your ministry. And people will start looking for those materials. What came on it is called kainos. Because there is really nothing you are saying now that you were not saying before. But suddenly kainos came on it. And because the inner man, every man, that is your inner man, that is the outer man, and that is what? The inner man. The inner man of the heart, of the mind even, of even the spirit. These inner dimensions of a man feeds on things. I want to remove the mind. Because your mind can feed on just knowledge. But what your spirit feed on is beyond knowledge. Your spirit can only feed on spiritual things. That is why when Jesus spoke, he said that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and
life.
They are spirit and
life.
That means Jesus' target when he teaches is not necessarily to blow your mind. It is to administer life and spirit. Because that is the only material with which your inner man is fed. So as far as Jesus is concerned, the things you know that ended in your head did not profit you in an intrinsic sense. Because the real you did not catch anything. The real you did not grow. The real you was not fed. You following me so far? So Jesus targets what? Not necessarily abandoning your mind, but not making your mind king. This is the way it works. If you receive something of your mind, the mind of a believer that is working well, we have to transfer as much of that thing that the mind grabbed straight to your heart. Because your heart is the seat of your personality. It is what entered your heart that you can function for. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it is what? So anything that finally gets to the heart is what your life functions from. So if you pray, it didn't get to your heart, you have not started praying, because your inner man has not recognized praying yet until it has rang with the heart. That's why you sleep. What happens in your dreams is actually your real state. Hello? Have you been weak in the physical? From fasting. If you are fasted for 3 days, 4 days, you can be weak physically, enter your dream and do damage. Am I correct? It means that the real you is not weak. And it should teach you something, that if the flesh is weakened, the spirit man is strengthened. That's according to the scripture. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So that's my job. I will have to show you the second one, the neoneoteros, is an act of creating something that was never there before. So it is not new in the sense that God breathed on it. Even the raw material with which it was created is new. And the creation itself has never been seen before. Are you getting the point now? Are you sure? Are you sure? Huh? Just carry that one, don't forget it. For me to do justice to this our teaching, I wrote here, as I was pushing it in my studies, I wrote here that I have to do a crash course for you on two major things. I have to do a crash course on atonement, and I have to do a crash course on regeneration. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Say after me, atonement. Let's see the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 19. There are four different things I want us to consider in the matter of atonement. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. Atonement is trying to make up for something that has gone wrong. That is the simplest way I can define it. Trying to make up or making up for something that has gone wrong. So if a wife offends the husband, something has gone wrong. Am I correct? Hey, something has gone wrong. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
And she wants to make up. And she considers, how do I make up to my husband? Hey. So I want to show you something. I told you that atonement is like I wanted to use husband, but I intentionally used wife. If a wife offends the husband, because many times a good husband, even when he is offended, will try as much as possible to die the matter. To do as if nothing happened. Are you getting what I'm saying? In case you don't know, hear it now. You must die the matter. Don't wait for them to ask you for anything. Die the matter. Die the matter. The fact that you are still asking for anybody to ask you anything is a fact that you have not matured well. A sirogi well. Cook me till I am what?
No.
This is part of the cooking. So that's it. It's part of. If you are still seeking, you are still seeking it. Some things will happen that you will write off. Bad debt. But if it's the other way around, it doesn't work that way. That's by the way. So if it's a woman that is wise, she will now ask herself, it seems as if my husband is not happy because of the way I acted. How do I make up for this? That making up for what you did, you know, is wrong, is what we call in a common way that you is big. What I'm talking about is bigger than this, but I'm just trying to bring it across. Is what we call atone. You are atoning for what you did. Now, it can be really this, because atonement is punitive. Write it down. Atonement is punitive. P-U-N-I-T-I-V-E. Atonement is punitive. So watch. Atonement is what? Punitive. It means that you don't just atone. You actually pay for it. So punitive. Punitive measures, it has punishment in it. So it is beyond you trying to mend up what happened. You have to actually pay first for what happened. So there are two major things here in atonement. You pay for the damage. Let's assume, I'm trying to explain atonement. Let's assume you broke somebody's car window. You say sorry. Say, thank you, I accept your sorry. But to repair my, that is atonement. We cannot forgive if there is no punitive, if there is no punishment. If that thing that God damaged, somebody did not pay for it. Somebody must what? Pay. That's atonement. Somebody must what? Pay. Now, as I will get to show you, just because somebody paid doesn't mean that the matter has been forgiven. No. You are not with me. Forgiveness is not in limbo. Some of you think that God forgives just because he look at your face and forgive you. The Bible says, as God for Christ's sake, what? Forgive you. That means the reason why God forgave you is not because you woke up in the morning and felt good. God did not forgive because he felt good. He forgave because there is a reason. That what your offense deserves has been paid. Yet it's not enough to say I forgive. Are you seeing it now? When you now extend your faith and ask, God will look and see Christ and see he has paid. He say, okay, because Christ has paid and you have asked, I forgive. Let's assume I want to forgive and Christ have not paid. So that is why this our teaching, this our doctrine is for people that are where? In Christ. If you are outside Christ, is the person outside Christ asking God for forgiveness. If I say this now, you people will say, the person outside Christ asking God for forgiveness. Forgiveness for what actually? For what? Forgiveness is only available in Christ. Forgiveness is only available in Christ. not just available in Christ in the sense that it is contained in Christ. It's available in Christ for people in Christ. So when we say forgiveness is available in Christ, we are saying that it is when you are in Christ that forgiveness is available to you. In fact, the context of forgiveness is resting upon the possibilities already in Christ, such that the man in Christ can benefit from the fruits of forgiveness, even in the matters that the Holy Spirit raised an objections on, and even in the matters he didn't raise objections. So there is a spontaneous work of the blood within the confines of the kingdom of Christ that works on you to make you presentable before God, even before you have literally asked for the forgiveness of that sin. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
There are some times you didn't even know you misbehaved, but you notice that there was an unbroken fellowship. That means the Holy Spirit now, that is the governor of the office of the Christ, did not consider that matter in your own context enough to signal a report. Meanwhile, if the Holy Spirit signals a report, he can signal in many ways. That is why instead of you to wait till that happens, you can go ahead and ask him, I come by your blood. That's how I pray. Hello? I've told you people, I pray this way. Two major things I say before I start. If I pray a little. I can start with praying in tongues, or I can just start that way. I will just say, I come in the name and I come by the blood. Literally and doctrinally, this covers everything that is needed to make somebody qualify to approach the holy presence of God. Are you learning?
Yes, sir.
So when you come in the name, you are saying, I'm not coming because of me, that is Chedu. I'm coming because of me, that is in Christ. So anything that needs to be done here, or anything, put it on Christ. And he's like somebody that... I don't know how I stumbled on one short video, just about 15 seconds. Sorry, I'm saying this. You know, some of us chose Christ. So it's not because we didn't see bad life, or because somebody says it's because my father is a pastor. Pastor's children, they are the worst. He's God. They are tired of these things, if you are saying. I was at Onitsha. Those days we were at Onitsha. And of all places, it's Onitsha that I spent my young age. Where you, even if you don't want to be bad, you will be bad. With all my born again and church and everything, I was still a chineked boy. Who is a chineked boy? Let me define a chineked boy for you. A chineked boy is that guy that is born again, but the lifestyle of Onitsha has so overwhelmed him that he lives his Christian life through the aperture of the lifestyle of that environment. So as a chineked boy, with the language, when they came from this guy, we are like him. Almost those days we have vocabulary. Hey, there is a way you be talking. And they call that guy. Oh, Tewawa, call now. Tewawa. Do you know what is Tewawa? You don't know now. That's the very purpose of the whole thing. Are you with me? So it's because we chose Jesus. So, hello. If not, the environment we grew up is such an environment that if you want to, you can follow that path. But thank God for preserving us. Meanwhile, those days, we'll be in the boarding school in the night. The seniors, it's not the days of, these days are the days of workman. Who knows? Some of the younger people. I just found that I'm getting old, as young as I am. Huh? Do you know workman? Hey! Jesus. Do you know workman? Hey! Do you know workman? Ah. See it? When I don't know workman, the people that know, don't tell us. The older people, don't. Do you know workman, fair guy? It's obvious you don't know. Hi. Maluke, do you know Walkman? Do you know Walkman? I know you don't know. I just asked you to confirm that you don't know. Those days is Walkman. You now put it carries CD plate. If you have it, you are the biggest of the big boys. Hey, we that is poor boy. The one we use is Palito. Abi, there is one that is small with radio. It's a Palito. Hey, God, that's the one we can afford. But men, guys, we have people. Real big, they will just carry it. Then that's when this rechargeable torch came out in early 2000. That time, that's when they now move. So they will put it in the night. The reason why I said this is that there are songs they used to play that time. Even if you don't want to hear it, you will hear it. You know why I went here? I want to show you what it means to come in the name of Jesus. So some of those days, that's when 50 Cent, all those people, I don't know many of these people singing now. Literally don't know them. That's why it's easy for me not to be tempted. I don't even know them. Like, I don't know them. If you call some of their names, I can't identify them. I'm telling you. I can't. You know this Asake? I don't know him. Like, if he's here, I cannot say this is him. I'm telling you. I'm not trying to... I don't know him. I don't. Anybody that I know must have done this thing for more than 10 years. If not, I can't even identify you facially. I don't know the guy. One day they spoke about him, even Christian spoke. I said, let me go and see his way. I could not, because secondly, the guy I saw with so much tattoo, everything, I cannot differentiate him. I just say, let me focus on scripture. If I use the time I will use to identify revelation and identify this guy, what space do I have? So, are you following me? So we are those old guys. 50 Cent. God delivered us. Celine Dion. Those are... Oh, I know some of you don't know these names I'm calling. Boys to Men. We are those guys. So they are playing it. Listen, I know you have gone back. May God deliver. I pull you out. Your mind on the go there. Now watch. I saw a short video clip recently, and one guy came and said, this 50, bring 25 bottles of this, 100 with this. After mentioning all of them, he said, put it on 50. 50, he said, no, I can't pay for it. But I say you can put it on Jesus. What it means to come in the name of Jesus is to gather whatever it requires to access things in God. Put it on Jesus. That's what it means to come in the name. If you spend, he pays. If you spend, he what? Pays. It's an all expenses paid journey. Don't be afraid of spending. In Christ, spend, he will pay. In fact, Jesus came to a point, he said, my problem with you is that you have not spent enough. Spend. Use my name. Use my ATM. Spend money. Spend it. I use money. All this, you will not understand it if I don't use money. Spend this money. He said, put it on me. I want to be seen debit alert. That's what they are saying in heaven. Jesus said, I've not seen enough debit alert on your name. You don't know how to catch. That's why we are in this teaching. We need more debit alert that bears your name. If you see another person and envy him, you are doing yourself. The person simply knows how to what? That's all. To put the key purpose of this teaching is to learn how to take this thing, put it on Jesus, let him be paying. He never pay. And guess what? He's not paying. He has paid. If you don't spend, the money waste. So he has already what? Paid. He is not going to pay. That's why he's pushing you. Have you paid for somebody and the person is not spending the thing? You will keep reminding him. Because you know if you allow this guy, he will waste it. And there is a time limit of how long you are spending on earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just like entering a flight. You know, if you enter flight, especially international flight, some of the time they share drinks, some of them even share light alcohol. And you can, the people that know how it was can take as many because they took enough for all of us, including somebody like me that will not drink. They still put my name there. I hope you know, whether you are drinking or not, that's your business. They added it. Are you getting the point? The beer, they added it. The wine, they added it. Everything, they added it. If you say, I drink only water, now you know, they added your own. Whether you took it or not, you pay. It's paid for. Are you getting where I'm going now? It's paid for. And it's good. Whatever is paid for can only be consumed in the time limit of the flight. Are you following me? You cannot say, pack this alcohol, pack 10 of them for me. If I'm leaving, let me carry it. You can't carry it anywhere. You can only finish it within that flight. That's why God keeps bombarding you with revelation promptings so that you spend, put it on his name, so that you will experience the powers of the age to come now. The compendium, the collocation, the things that Jesus was able to buy, pay for, has not been scratched. The worst part is that the people scratching it don't deserve it. Or rather, they are not living up to it. You that has done all the prayer, done everything, is suffering the least thing that God provided in his death. That Jesus provided in his... What you need is light. Sometimes when I say I am not normal, I'm not saying it as a word. How can I be normal now? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is an atomic reaction taking place inside of me. How can I be normal? It is not a statement to make you say, wow. It's a statement of fact. That something is actually happening inside. So after me, Jesus I spend.
I put it on your name.
Let's say it 6 more times. Number 2.
Jesus, I spend. I put it on your name.
Number 3.
Jesus, I spend. I put it on your name.
Number 4.
Jesus, I spend. I put it on your name.
Number 5.
Jesus, I spend. I put it on your name.
Number 6. Number 7.
Jesus, I spend. I put it on your name.
So I broke up the matter of atonement into 4 major sections. And we will take it one step after another. Are you with me? Okay, the first one is sacrifice. The second one, remittance. So I drew it like a graph. First one, sacrifice. Second one, remittance. Third one, propitiation. Fourth one, reconciliation. So let's start with sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 19 to 28. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 to 12. The first one is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19. For when Moses has spoken every precept, please follow me well. For when Moses, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
For when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of what? Just be paying attention. Everything we are going to mention will be very important. So the first part we are considering is the part of sacrifice. Are you with me? So that's the first part of atonement. I told you people what atonement is. Somebody, thank you. Somebody sinned, and that sin need to be paid for. Are you getting the point? We cannot just tell the person to go. It has to be paid for. Huh? From the days of Moses, there was payment made, and there were atonements that was made for the sin of man. But there is a challenge. The value of their payment is not equal to what was committed. And because of it, it cannot meet God's estimation. It's not about number, it's about value. It's not about number, it's about what?
Value.
You have to know God's value system. You remember when God told Moses, he said, come out of the way, let me clear all these children of Israel and raise another generation with you. It means, as far as God is concerned, the value of Moses before God in heaven is far higher than 3 million, how many million people? Millions of people. So it is not a number. So what does he tell you? He tells you that there is no democracy in heaven. The kingdom of God does not really function. If it's by democracy, how will God call me? It means they will call my village. You check them now. This is my kind of calling. They will now vote in my homeowner. Vote in my village. Vote in Uruagu. Vote in the... Where won't we? Where won't we? Inside my family. Hey, thank God for Jesus. How I won't take win? It's not possible. Who amongst us will win? To win Nigeria election now like this, and we are talking about an eternal election. How you won't win? Who won't vote for you? You, where know they talk? You are looking for where to hide. In the Katawa. That's what they told me when I did politics in UNL. I went there for manifesto. Instead of me to boldly declare my manifesto, one girl met me. Because of this, my cry, she will never vote for me. That I should ginger them. I should, you know now, of the greatest, go. Of the greatest, you people are not innocent. I went there, I was trying to impart spiritual conviction on them. I was already a man of God. It was a sister that told me later she was praying for me to lose. She said, I don't understand. Sister said she was praying for me to lose because she knew that that was not the direction of my destiny. That I should not go and win in a wrong thing. Is it a good thing? I won't fight that sister. Allow me. We want to plant righteousness in the mountain of politics. Oh God, you miss direction. So that's how. So some of you, you know, will win. You will not. Maybe somebody like Ifeanyi Beto will be winning all elections because when he appears, he inspires confidence. What do you think? Yeah. And you too, you go win. All these articulative people. Now prayer saved me for this life. So the wise. So long we win and win and win. Hey! Josh Keg! These are the men that sit on the mountains. They win and win. Unfortunately, or rather fortunately, God is the one that brings us into election. We call it divine election. And the criteria are human. If not, I can't make it. But after God have chosen and the person walks on that path for a while, you will see he didn't make mistake. Is it not true?
Yes,
God told the children of Israel, choose. They chose Saul. Mistake. They say, God choose. He chose David. The best till now. Allow God to choose. What do we do?
Allow God to choose.
Okay. So, I said that even if you want to pay for something that has damaged, you cannot just pay anything you want. So, that's an atonement. Atonement is the real atonement is actually paying to the right value of what was lost. So, if you check the law and the sacrifices that Moses, through the Aaronic priesthood, offered, they did their best. I was studying the scripture. I said, I need to study more whether I made a mistake or what. Each man, in fact, we say we are working hard now. Those two, both the people that are offering for and the person offering, they suffer. Each man comes with two animals to be killed. Ibugahu before. Ibonefi. By yourself, you killed. No, now I mean, have you killed by yourself? Ibugahu by yourself. You have killed goat. Hand. Raise your hand. You are a strong man. You are looking innocent. You have killed goat. You are looking very innocent. Oh. Now listen. Is it that easy? Part of the training of priesthood, you have to learn how to slaughter animals. Go and check. If the children of Israel are 1 million, and each person needs two animals for a yearly sacrifice, the priesthood has to be large in number. They will keep killing animals, pouring blood, killing animals, and kill for 3 million people. So maybe I made a mistake. Maybe it's just two animals for the whole nation. That's what it is. I will go and study more. I think that's what it should be, because I don't understand. It's one for one each person. Because I know it's your head. Each family. Let's assume that we have 100 families. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Family. There is no way we will not have up to 10,000 families or 1,000 families. You are a priest, I pity you. Because even to kill one goat, two, for one family, and then you kill for 1,000 families, the law is really a punishment. Indeed, the law is never meant to be kept. Say after me, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's not just the salvation and going to heaven and all that. The labor much. Ibualo. Say after me, Ibualo. That's how we call it. Ibualo. Heavy load. God removed it in Christ. All you need to say now is, cleanse me, Lord. It's two goats. I'm trying to paint a picture for you. Every time you say, cleanse me, Lord, how many goats?
Two goats.
Some of you say, cleanse me, Lord, 3 times a day. Say after me again, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, even if I can, it is still labor. Even if I have the means, it is still labor. Both for me and the priest that is slaughtering. I used to think those priests are enjoying. They will tell them the meat that I know one shop. What kind of meat do you want to give me that I will kill 50 goats? We need to. That Aaron, Aaron is not slim, I can tell you. Aaron must be a macho man, his hand. Because there is no way you'll be cutting that in and not develop muscle. Aaron, he will be like this, my brother here. Say after me, in Christ,
in Christ,
all these are done away with.
All these are done away with.
you don't know what it means. That's what we are trying to share. And these are the kind of things that you don't come and say, I know it already. There's nothing like I know it. It's you keep reminding yourself, even though you know them. Because after some time, you are not careful, they slip away from you. And you get back to the things that used to trouble you. You used to lord over these things. What happened? His knowledge gap. Hello? Get back to it. Get back to it. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
You cannot grow in this world and say you have grown in God, you don't need grace again. The higher you grow, the more your foundations become more important. The higher you grow, the more grace becomes a bigger thing. The higher you grow, the more the matter of mercy is even more important. Because now your mistakes are a more serious thing than what it used to be some years ago. Are you getting the point? Yes. The mistake of somebody like me will no more affect only me. In fact, my mistake will no more affect this congregation. How many are they here? Is this prayer and prophetic 2 weeks ago that gives you a picture, not even the main thing, but a little picture of the amount of people that can be affected by a mistake? That's why you need more mercy, so that you make less mistakes or no mistake. Paul said, I speak of one that have received mercy to be what? Faithful. That means it takes mercy for man to, what faithful in that context is, he kept doing the right thing, kept doing the right thing, kept doing. Mercy does not just take you back when you do the wrong thing. Mercy makes sure that you keep what? Doing the right thing. It is not in your power to do that. Are you getting the point? The man that makes as less mistake as possible is the one that has received a lot of mercy. You keep suspecting yourself. You make mistakes and ask God, he forgives you. You say, mercy, Lord, forgive me. You don't really know mercy. If you know mercy, what it would do, even one step before you make mistake, have you had one step, something will just happen, you didn't make it. That's mercy that made that thing happen. It's better. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
So for we to accept payment for what was done and count it as atonement, you have to pay as much as we declared is the value of what was lost. And the person to declare value is not the offender. It is the offended. Are you getting what I'm saying? You didn't hear me. When we want to declare the value that you are going to remit as a result of what was damaged, the person that declares value is not the offender. It is what? The offended. Because I can knock your head like this. And as I say, is it not just your head that you knock? I hope you know I can do this and do this. It's not the same. This person will count it a bigger thing. This person will count it as not much. That means it is the offended that actually knew what happened when man sinned. Man didn't know. They told him, just do this, you will see. He didn't know he's damaging the project of God in all generations. Adam didn't know what he did. He thought he was just to disobey God and do anything. God is building something eternal. All his purpose is capture the man in one moment. In one moment, that man slaughtered that thing and brought God's program down to the ground. It is what was redeemed in Christ was not just man. It is the purposes of God. The main thing God was looking for. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The scripture gave us a parable. Tell that guy I will give him this. The scripture gave us a parable. Jesus was saying, he said the man saw a field. Oh, he saw a field, but he noticed something, that there is a treasure in that field. What he was looking for was not the field. What he was looking for was what? The treasure. But he sold all he had and went and bought what? The land. Meanwhile, what he was looking for was not the land. What he was looking for is what? The treasure. But for him to get to the treasure, he has to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That who? So it is the who's that God was looking for and saved the world. So it is the ecclesia that can come out of the world that God is looking for. So Jesus shed his blood. And that's why the Bible said in the book of
Matthew chapter 24, that one of the signs of his coming is that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached everywhere as a witness or sign. Not that everybody will be born again, but as a witness. Are you getting the point? Yes, meaning that there is an ecclesia, a witness of people that God is trying to get out for himself as a testimony, as a building blocks through which he will begin to reveal again what he intended to do through Adam that failed in the sin. Called them out in Christ. Began to build again. And in Christ, he was able to funnel the same thing he would have done through the tree of life. That life now is in Christ, who we possess. John is speaking. Said, this is the witness that we have, that we have received eternal life. And that eternal life is where? It's in the Son. That was what we were looking for. That was how Adam would have approximated into the fullness of God by partaking of the tree of life. So when you got born again, God took the tree of life from outside and planted it inside. I'm getting there. Actually, that's where I'm going, so let me go back. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
So, if you break this, my brother, break my own. I hope you know we will not take it the same way. This guy might have saved all his money and bought his own. Me, it can be one of my cars. As you are telling me, sorry, I'm bothered about the time that you are wasting. I will call the person, just take your feet, just take your feet, and then I'll go. But that man is thinking about that car you are thinking he has. That's why I tell everybody listening to me, some people that have car, hey, go meet him. That money, if you know how it's contributed, when something happened, they are cry. Have you seen some people that had some accident? They will lie on the ground and be crying. That they are cry. It's not just the car. One man said it's better he gets injured. Yes. What he's crying for is not the car. He is thinking. What will he tell the meeting people, villagers, church people, the people that contributed? You are saying this guy bought new car. You don't buy any car. Ego name mother. Are you getting the point? The way you will react to a loss is not the way you will react to a loss. Number two, it depends on what something means to somebody. Are you getting the point? You see this ring I'm holding here? Huh? You know you can wear your own ring. You can even wear it here. I saw one guy wearing it here. I said, how is your wife? He said, he's not married. I said, why are you now wearing it? He said, he just liked the way it looks. Are you getting the point? That ring doesn't mean much to that person. So if you see the two of us wearing ring and take my own the way you took his own, it's not about the cost of the ring in the market. You are not with me. This thing represents a covenant, a vow. So there is both a literal value and an unquantifiable value. The value that comes, you can't quantify it. We need to call the people you offended and ask them, what does it take? And sometimes even humans cannot tell you the meaning of what they lost. So you will keep paying until they look at it and say, it's okay. That's what happened with God and man. He told them, oh yeah, start paying. Told Moses, tell them what to pay. Two goats every year. Two goats. Two goats. As they were doing that, God was checking it. It was not even doing anything. Say after me, value.
Value.
You cannot be able to make an atonement when value has not been determined. Is it okay?
Yes,
we have to determine the value. And I told you, the person to determine the value is not the person that offended. It's the person that was offended. Are you getting it? It's not the offender. It's the offended. Because it's the offender that knows what this thing is worth. You can be wearing a ring that was given to you, just imagine. Just imagine, okay, yes. How many of you have watched that movie, John Wick? You people are no more in us. But it is good, just for message there. Especially the first one. So, you know, that guy took that dog. Did they even kill it?
Yes.
Took his car. Now, when the father of that young man, Abi, his first in command, his ABC, asked him, what did you do? He said, it's just a dog. He said, you don't know what we are saying. Two things is involved. Number one, it's not what you did. It's whose dog. Say, whose dog? Say, John Wick. And that dog is not just his dog. It's the dog that reminds him of his wife he lost. So the value of that dog is not monetary. Are you getting the point? It's not about money. Nothing can buy that dog. No money. So are you seeing where I'm going now? It takes the offender to determine. That guy kept killing till the movie ended and he didn't stop. Are you with me? That means we are not able to determine the value of what he lost, even till the end of the movie. When they looked at it, they said, we need part two for this guy to keep killing. The value has not been... That's what happened in the law. God was trying to determine the value of what he was lost, what he lost. Man has not comprehended the enormity of what God lost. He gave them the law as the schoolmaster to teach them a lesson. Until they realize the enormity of what was lost, he now gave them Christ. So keep killing. Keep killing. They were killing. He said, keep killing. They got time. He said, now you know, you must kill. They kept killing goats. Goats. When the Bible came to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, he said, that thing they were killing, you know, they touched me. He said it now. God said that this thing you are doing did not do any job. I just want you to realize the value of what you lost for me. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
and until they understood what was lost, he did not stop. That's why the Bible said that the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to the point where we realize our need for grace. It is at the point that a man realizes his need for grace that he has been able to make a true adjustment in his value reading. As of that moment, you have been able to understand the weight of what we did in Adam. And then told God, nothing can pay for this thing. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Only you can pay for it. And thank God you did it in Christ. All my effort. So, the law is a compendium of efforts to make up. And God is saying, even if I give you 1,000 years, you can't make up for what you did. Since you still want to make up, keep doing it. That all your make up and sacrifices and keeping the commandments did not even achieve one jot. In my value rating, you are not even in the environment to pay the price. Talk more of paying it. There is first a kind of person that will pay the price and a way he has to pay the price. You are not even qualified. Let's even say, are you getting where we're going? All the men that wanted to do right and just could not, even if they want to. For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. So they are pre-disqualified, even if they decided to make an attempt to pay that price. So the lack of realization made God to allow the law to linger, not as if he doesn't have plans to rescue man. Because when the scripture began to show us, he said that this blood that was shed in the foundation of the world. Paul, speaking in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, said that God has decided to reveal the riches of his grace within the dispensation of the fullness of time. That what he revealed at the end was part of the counsel of his will from the beginning. So he wanted you to get tired. When you get tired, you now, that your tiredness is the point of proper appraiser. You now say, Omo, nobody feel do this thing. You say, yes, it's true. You are correct. Nobody can do it. Except God. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Bend down your head 1 minute. Say, thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid. Keep thanking him. Keep thanking him. Keep thanking him. Lift up thanksgiving. This is the moment. Sometimes all you take is just a thanksgiving. Thank him. I've been forgetting it. These days I've been trusting my prayer by myself. I think my prayer is too powerful. No. It's just that it's powerful. Your prayer is powerful because of Jesus. Amen. Anana is 8. I'm just trying to start. So, but you have grabbed the atonement. Am I correct?
Yes,
so, God is trying to... Now, there are about five purposes of the law. One of it is that God is trying to determine value. There are a few purposes of the law. But God is trying to determine value by bringing... The law is an instrument of value. God is trying to determine value. And it's not... When I mean he's trying to determine value, I'm not trying he's trying to find out. He knows. He's trying to let you know. There is nothing God doesn't know. But he will not make progress until you know what he knows. Are you getting it? It is at that point you now say, is this? Yes, now that's what I've been saying. But since you don't know it, I can't progress. We will keep staying here until you realize. So he kept on it. Kept on it. Hundreds of years we are passing. Many goats and men were killed. God did not move. He kept on it. Kept waiting. Kept waiting until the schoolmaster finished his job. Are you with me? So the law revealed value to man. And when the law revealed value, we find out that even the best of us cannot do the least of what God requires. The best of us can't do the least. He allowed them to try. Even Moses himself broke the commandments he's coming to give. You are not with me. The order of amongst the Israeli circle, don't speak about Moses. Even God said there is no man like Moses. In Judaism, in the Israeli Jewish culture, there are two tallest men in all their days. It's Abraham and Moses. These are the two tallest men. You can throw in it. And then it's complete. Nobody is in that rank. Others did powerfully, but nobody is in this rank. Jesus wanted to die. Sorry. I'm looking for a better word. But when Jesus saw that it's time for him to die, and he can't kill him, so he started preaching some message. One of the messages he preached is that, he said, before Abraham, I was. They caught him. He will come and say, Moses said, and I said to you, who is this guy? Do you know who is Moses? Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. No wonder they kill. Because by that thing, he's saying that as tall as Moses, if you remove Moses, their culture is dead, their nation. I hope you know that Israel is unique, or Jews are unique in the sense that their government came from their religion. So they can't separate their government and their religion. In today's, maybe US, you can have a secular society. They are making an attempt, even though you will keep failing and failing. Every government must have a spiritual aspect. That's how the world is. If you remove Christianity, another one will enter. You can't have a vacuum. You can't have a vacuum. Eh? Those rainbow guys is a religion. Don't come and think it's secularism. It's a religion on its own. There are spirits and there is worship. And there are temples and there are books of education. It's a religion. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
They killed Jesus. But thank God for God. He came to a point and realized that if he left Dennis to himself, I hope you know, that even if you say you want to die for your sins, but even if you die, they will not accept your blood. Is that bad? Is that bad? You get the point? Had it been they said, if we die, we save ourselves. Many of us won't die. Eh? But there are some. There are some that can die. Somebody like Josh can die. Eh? He can just die. Who again can die? Eh? Body. Body won't die. Oh. You don't need to tell me you won't die. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Even if you want to die, they won't accept your own. Precious, they won't accept you. You see, this my boy, like this. He never do anything. They won't accept his own. I don't have time. I would have analyzed you, but I think I've tried it. I told you people that there are three kinds of imputations. Am I correct? There is the sin of Adam that was imputed on the human race, and the sin of the human race imputed on Christ, and the righteousness of Christ that is imputed on man. There are three major imputations. The sin of Adam, because you know why that my boy, that's why I mentioned this. He has not done anything, but he needs to be born again. Why? The sin of Adam is very bad. This thing we have to look at. Yeah, innocent God. But what we consider in the kingdom is not innocence, it's righteousness. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Why? Simple. Though he did not sin, according to the scripture, in the book of Romans chapter 5, he said, even them that did not sin after the similitude of the sin of Adam, even them, death reached them. Why? Because of the law of imputation. Adam, because we came from the loins of Adam, in Adam as sin, we also what? Sin. So his sin was imputed on us. Now, because Jesus came and took up flesh, the sin of Adam that was running through the human race was imputed on him. Now, because Jesus died as a man, his righteousness that was in him, I don't have time, I would have done that analysis. I hope you know that Jesus coming in the flesh is necessary so that he can die. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
The major reason he needs to come in the flesh is that he needs to die, number one. Number two, he needs to die as man. Because for you to save a goat, you need to die as what? A goat. For you to save a lion, you need to die what? For you to save man, you need to die as?
Man.
You are correct. So if God does not die as a man, even him cannot save us. Now, because he can save us, he now came as man. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
now, the problem or the good thing is, both in the natural and in the spiritual genealogy, you cannot trace him to Adam. What is inside is God. What is clothed with is flesh and man. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
that's why some people, if you say this body is not important, that's why sometimes some doctrine we need to adjust it. I'm not saying you are bad. But if you say man is spirit, it's a problem. Because spirits, they don't die. You have to have flesh. That is actually, if my grandmother, one day I was with her, and she was saying, the law that we operate in the kingdom, even the people in the natural, they know it. If spirits are coming those days, demonic spirits, and you are aware as a human, you will keep talking. You'll be calling the spirit out. Calling the spirit, that you know the spirit, calling, and the spirit will go back. Why? It's man that has license to operate in this physical world. Even God said that the heaven of the heaven is my own, but the earth have I given to what? The children. The license for any spirit to operate on this is the body of humanity. Jesus took up the body of humanity through the principle of incarnation. But the good thing in it is that what is inside is God. What is outside is flesh. Now, because all humans is accounted as have sinned in Adam, are you getting what I'm saying? He identifying with man has conferred on him that possibility. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, while he was going to the cross, though his spirit is justified, in the flesh, it seems as if he sinned. So Satan killed him thinking he sinned. only for him to appear and find out that his spirit, soul, is righteous. Now, this is where the whole context of atonement started. Huh? A whole... Who owned a mic? A whole court session was set in view. Number one, we need to review this injustice. Is it not injustice? This guy died righteous. They killed him as if he did something, but he died righteous. So how do we balance the check? So this is what Jesus said. This is the way to pay me back. Release everybody you are owing. So that's what the scripture meant in the book of Romans chapter 5. If one man, Adam, sinned, and everybody, we didn't do anything, they said, he said, no problem. Since Jesus paid, let also the people that did not pay literally, let all them what? Join him. That is the law of imputation. So just as the sin of Christ, of Adam, was imputed on man, the righteousness of Christ was imputed. In either cases, we did not work to deserve it. Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
So that's the principle of atonement. God determined value. Now, there is also an extension. Are you getting the point? Satan did something. There is the part that is Satan. I'm going to show you. In the law of propitiation. Have you heard about the scapegoat? I will get there very soon. I've already told you about, in case I didn't mention him. But I've already taught sacrifice and taught repentance, but I will still go through it one after another. In the law of the offering, you know there are two goats, Leviticus chapter 16. Am I correct? One, he said, God told Moses to tell Aaron that when it's time to do this, you should throw a lot. When you throw a lot, the one that the Lord fell upon is for the Lord. The other one is what is called the scapegoat or Satan's own. That place they send the scapegoat is where? Are you seeing it? So, if Jesus is going to pay, he has to visit two locations. The sacrifice must reach two locations because we are owing two people. Huh? One, if after, you know, as I explain like this, it's obvious that the claims of Satan has been broken. It's not enough. God also has his own claim. So we have to satisfy two people. Whatever sacrifice you are making. Hello? I'm still trying to explain sacrifice. The kind of sacrifice that will be qualified has to be the kind that will meet Satan's expectation. Or rather, we meet the justice, their claim Satan is making over man. When that sacrifice appears, it will trump claims. That claim of Satan will go down. But that's not enough. God too is making claim. Satan is saying, when man sinned, he became mine. God is saying, when man sinned, I lost something. Say thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus.
Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you. You know, that's why Moses is the greatest type of Christ we have ever seen. Let me tell you why. God allowed Moses to experience some things that only him had. Like, for example, you will see Satan like this, represented in Pharaoh, or some plagues, trying to deal with the children of Israel. Even God will be trying to deal with the children of Israel. Have you not seen it? In many cases, Moses will block Satan and go to God and block God. One man. That's what Christ did. He went to God and said, don't worry, sir. I'm going to take care of this. He went to Satan and said, oh, God, I will finish Satan. Came back to the father and said, don't worry. Instead of me not to deal with this, me, I will pay for it. Put it on my name. Put it on my name. It's indemnification. And they checked the claims of the Christ. When he came back to heaven to make that statement, they brought the scales of balances of justice in heaven and checked his claim. Guess what he threw on the balance? His blood. That's why he told Mary, don't touch me yet. I've not met my father. I need to show him this thing. I need to show him. Huh? When he appeared in heaven, he said, Daddy, I'm back. See my blood. Release every man. Huh? You were there, Dennis, now. When they brought the blood, the everywhere was shaken. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that it is necessary that Jesus died too. That his blood appears. Not just for man. You don't know the blood of Jesus. It's not just man that needed that blood. The Bible said even the pattern of holy things in heaven is necessary to be sanctified by the blood. When Satan messed up in heaven, a lot of chaos is still there. When the blood came, he rearranged it. God said, Bible said in the book of Job, he has not found perfection in his angels. It's in Job. He has even his angels. This guy is an angel. No, it's not the best thing to say. This guy has Christ. You have Christ, you want to be an angel. I pity you. Now you say, so come here. Sheso salapiaka vanahata. I keep on sosteva diende kababu. The blood is still fresh. I can see it. My eyes is open in the spirit. And the Lord said I should tell you, the blood is fresh. Hey. God has not forgotten that one sacrifice. Before God in heaven, it's like as if it happened now. It's like as if Jesus died now. That's how it is. Brothers and sisters, Jesus died 2,000 years ago, but he died even now. It's still fresh. Jaya Kopaman, Ambeke Kata, Dabro Sasaka, Adebi, Rapata Papa Kata, Randa Papa Pokol, Rapata Papaya Kapa Pol, Shakira, Shakira, in Jesus' mighty name. Let me quickly round up. Give me down my Hebrews. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of cows and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. See, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined. This is the blood. I see the blood. I see the blood. I see. My weaknesses counts for nothing. I see. Any word of accusation that Satan has ever had against you for any reason, I see the blood. I see blood. He's still fresh. He's still alive. The scripture said Jesus, to the eternal spirit, offered himself once and for all. He said, this man never liveth. He's alive. The blood is fresh. The blood. The Lord told me to tell you today that the blood is still fresh. The blood is still fresh. It can do now what it did 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' name, listen. Show me my scripture. Saying this is the blood of the testament. You can use the word covenant, which God enjoined unto you. 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both what? The tabernacle. And what? The vessels of ministry. Next verse.
And almost all things are by law, purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is what? No remission. Let me check. Next verse. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Next verse. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. For who? Next verse. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin by what? By what? How did he put away sin? So the first part of an atonement is that we need to bring a sacrifice with the right value. The only sacrifice in redemptive context that has the capacity in value to put away sin is the sacrifice of Christ himself. Are you getting the point? That's why I read all this. Show me verse 25. Let me read it again. Verse 25. Nor yet. Show me where he mentioned Christ. Oh my God, I don't have time. Jesus. For Christ is not entered. So the context here is Christ. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. No. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Verse 26 is the golden scripture. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now. Now is now. Even if it happened years ago, that is the power, the operating power of faith. Faith can make what is 2,000 years ago to be what? Now. But now, once in the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. If Moses died, it wouldn't be enough. In fact, many people died. Ghosts died. A lot of things died. They didn't serve. God checked it. Jesus appeared himself and said, okay, let me throw myself on the scale and know whether that sin will not succumb. So what they checked was not how many people has died or how many ghosts have been killed. Value. When they checked the value of one man, Christ Jesus, when he threw his blood, all of hell bowed, all of heaven bowed. It was not just hell that bowed. Even God, when he finished, to show that what he did was totally acceptable, that his heart was at peace, he gave him the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Peter was speaking. So you know that what Jesus did was perfect, accepted, and beyond the expected value. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. Any day you do this, the sign to man, according to Peter, he said that this Holy Ghost you see shed forth is a proof that Christ is now Jesus is now the Lord and what? Christ. Any man that is able to do this. It was John in the book of Revelation. He said, I see a scroll with seals on it, and no one is able to break the seals and read what is inside. They said they checked the heavens, checked the earth, nobody. Check her. They came and said, where is Edo now? He escaped. Even Edo could not defend it. They said, where is Okuku? Where is Aleku? They disappeared. The Bible said, even the angels of God, everybody, nobody could. Michael, nobody. John began to cry until one guy stepped to him and touched him and said, weep not.
as he was slain, he has prevailed. It's the lamb and his blood that prevailed, brother. Weep not, weep not. If you're a child of God hearing me now, weep not. The lamb, he has prevailed. Viacomas, Siakai, Viniak, Siakano, Zafelekaya, I am I, the Lord. Whatever comes to your heart now, you need to express it in the next 1 minute. There is an utterance in you. You need to let it loose.
Thank you.
contract.
Satan is a liar. He cannot accuse you. He cannot accuse you. We silence that voice of accusation. The blood has paid. Jesus has paid. The blood is hidden. Satan is a liar. We cannot put on you what Jesus has taken away. God is not angry with you. He is not. He said, I should tell you. That voice of condemnation, that voice of accusation is from Satan. That voice that is trying to tell you, you need to do anything to deserve the love, is a lie. We are here because of Jesus and his blood. It has not changed. Trying to tell you, look at what you have done. God can no more use you. Anytime you want to make progress, they remind you of the evil things you did. It's a lie. That thing you did, what you wear is on the cross. You are a different person today. It's under the blood. It doesn't count.
Continue again, 5 p.m. prayers. You can give your offering. Father, we bless all the offering in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the hand and heart of the giver.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Udechukwu, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040. Or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Udechukwu. God bless you.